Each Saturday at the same time, the National Broadcasting Company presents Morgan Beatty's War Telescope, a review of the war week and a forecast of possible developments to come. Morgan Beatty is NBC's veteran war reporter in the British capital. And so, for his regular Saturday report, we take you now to London.
This is Morgan Beatty in London, looking at the 206th week of war through the war telescope. This week marked the close of the Casablanca epic of the Second World War, the week when the Germans accepted the defensive position in warfare in Europe, and the week the Allies accepted the offensive. The last 8 months of the war, the Casablanca epic, coincides almost exactly with my nearly 8 months tour of duty in London, a tour that ends officially tonight with this broadcast. The first big news story of my stay here was the meeting between the President and the Prime Minister on the west coast of Africa, the meeting that produced a 9 month journal of strategy, offensive strategy. Last January, the British Eighth Army had already stopped the enemy and had begun pushing him back across the desert. The Russians had also stopped the Germans and were also forging tenuously ahead, but no vast offensive power had yet been generated by the Allied nations. As usual, most of us then showed some impatience, and we were pretty quick to criticize mistakes and slow progress. But we had begun to learn the most important lessons of modern war. We'd learned, for example, that carrying war across oceans is a matter of tooling up machine shops in South Bend and Wheeling. And so we were prepared in a measure for the ups and downs of the Tunisian campaign. Here in England, when the dips came, at first the American troops were blamed. But when the British saw us acknowledge that our own ignorance of warfare had caused the setback at Kettering Pass, they took, as they say over here, a much better view of the situation, because they remembered the days when Rommel was chasing their green armies across the desert. Then came the famous Alexander Left Front, the quick knockout, and Tunisia was ours. The Axis thinkers and planners and soldiers, all of them took a left hook to the chin and the count. Last January, the Russians, after 2 years of practice, had learned how to lace into German strategy and make hash out of it, and Axis invincibility went a-glimmering month by month. We've watched all of this during these last 8 months, and we've absorbed the lessons. For example, that allies must get on together. One of the crowning achievements of these last 8 months, for example, has been our success at sea. Warfare, basically, is supply, we learned, and the submarine was a major menace to our supply lines in the Atlantic. Gradually, one by one, we developed gadgets and technique to beat the submarine menace. And then, at the exact moment, we paralyzed submarine attacks from the air. At the exact moment when we needed the maximum flow of supplies to the Mediterranean and to the Britain from America. The submarine may not save us, but certainly it was just in time for us to apply that maximum of pressure early in 1943. The most successful of all our offensive strategies, perhaps, in the last 8 months has been our terrorist bomb, the other half of the blockade weapon. British and American bombers have all but blasted the skies of Europe. They can wreck cities and impede, at least, great industrial arteries of supply in Europe. All of that, together with the Royal Navy's blockade, is obviously eating seriously into German reserves.
It has been the principal reason why the enemy has
accepted the defensive, why he's lost or is rashly losing one of his partners in warfare.
While we advanced steadily in the battle of supply, while we protected our channels and ran our material of war through the gauntlet of the enemy's submarine and air defenses, at the same time, the enemy himself has watched his arteries of supply gradually suffer from constriction. Thus, in the last 8 months, we have laid the basic groundwork for victory. We might even go so far as to say that we have won the war of economics. But economics is only one of the three phases of modern war. Even though it is a basic phase, there are two others: political and military. In the battle of politics, we've been doing only fairly well. Allied politics, of course, were determined by a two-word phrase spoken by President Roosevelt at Casablanca 8 months ago, when he said, "We would accept from the enemy only unconditional surrender." That, of course, was the Anglo-American guarantee to Russia. The Russians already had pledged word of Britain to make no separate peace, indeed, not even to negotiate towards peace. The Russians had no such assurance from us until the President said, "We'd fight to unconditional surrender." That phrase laid the groundwork for solid understanding among the powerful big three of the Allies. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Russians won't wonder a little about our objectives in the future from time to time, and that we won't cast an occasional side glance in their way. We wouldn't be practical if we did not recognize that nations don't think any more alike than people, and that the Russian idea of democracy and our own is not the same. But there is common ground for action against the enemy, and that common ground is the means and the will to victory. Most far-sighted statesmen will say, as one of them said to me, that the big three, or rather the big four, to include China, all have common ground in peace and war, good trading ground. We in America have industrial machinery and genius that Russia will need or needs now and will need after this war. Britain has vast tracts of land, potential air bases for world transport, and the trading and diplomatic genius. China also has great need for industrial expansion. What's more, all four of us, Russia, China, Great Britain, and the United States, did not want war, and not a one of us wants war now. As a matter of fact, our greatest pre-war weakness was our attempts to avoid war. These attempts caused, well, not goodwill. Great Britain didn't like it, certainly, when Russia stood back. Yes, and America stood back and let her take it alone in the Battle of Britain, or almost alone. And China still wonders when aid is coming. And at this very moment, the Russians are worried because we don't start.
Ladies and gentlemen, back in the NBC newsroom in New York. The quality of the transmission from London since we took the air this afternoon has consistently deteriorated, and we consider it inferior to broadcast. We shall fill this period with music from New York.